And so I know, even tonight, I have shifted. Can we please celebrate God's servant, our Father, the prophet, the angel over this house, and his dear wife, our most hospitable mama, prophet Nana Sey Opoku Sakodie. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Thank you, sir. Thank you for opening your heart to the youth. Thank you for showing us possibilities. Thank you for helping us to believe that certain things are not just stories, but they are things that men can handle. And thank you for generously pouring yourself and bringing many into that operation of the Spirit. Every time I come here, I don't just come to minister. I come to be inspired. I come to be impacted. I come to be empowered. You see, what is happening here is uncommon. And for those who have traveled, you know it is true. You don't build a city in less than 7 years. It's not possible, except if an ancient spirit is at work. Can we celebrate Jesus? Because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of the living God. Can we celebrate Jesus? Shout glory! Hallelujah. I want to honor all the ministers of God in the house for standing with this great prophet, laboring over this generation. Thank you so much for your loyalty and your doggedness. No man dominates in isolation. Everywhere you see a man rise, there is an Aaron, there is a Hor that keeps their hands lifted. And so we honor you, we salute you for your sacrifice. Woman of God, I want to honor you deeply. Thank you so much. God's servant spoke to me briefly about you and your husband and how much of a blessing you have been. Can we please celebrate her? When I walked in and shook hands with her, it looked as if we've known for many years, because it's by the Spirit. And I honor you deeply, ma, for your sacrifice. Tonight I'm here with my wife. You know, the work of mission is quite hectic. And so oftentimes I would rather travel alone, especially that she's a very busy person herself. But the last time I visited here, I went back home and I told her, you will come here. This is heaven on earth. The excellence, the hospitality. I had to clear her schedule for many months just to make sure we are here. And tonight we are here to share fellowship with you. Great people of Ghana, lift your hands and honor the Lord. You reign, 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 up to the Lord for 1 minute. Tell him how much you love him. Pour your heart to Jesus. He came tonight to satisfy the hungry. Talk to the Lord. Tonight is the first night I'll be ministering, and so I want to teach and just establish the coordinates for our navigation. Hallelujah. Listen, praise God. But you see, I can sense so much hunger in the spirit. I can sense enormous hunger and passion in the spirit. There's somebody crying. He said, Lord, if you won't use me, then kill me. Now, when you find such people in the congregation, it's difficult to teach because their hunger will draw you. It will draw you. It will draw you. And so in the next 1 minute, I want to ask the Holy Ghost to water you. There are three persons here in particular. Three persons here. You have said, if you don't encounter God, you will not live here. I came for you. I want to ask the Lord to water you now, so we can teach. As I sing now, the fire of God will come upon three of you, and it will be very intense. I want to lay hands on them and release an impartation before we begin to share. Father, in the holy name of the God, in the name of the Lord, wherever these hungry hearts are, by the spirit of the ancients, I summon them now. God, oh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign. Exalted like the horn of the unicorn. Wherever you are, God,
Jesus,
by the Spirit of the living God, step into that order. Before this week is over, the encounter that turns a charlatan to a veteran, the encounter that turns a nobody to a national phenomenon, the encounter that lifted the beggar from the donkey and establishes him among princes, you will walk in that encounter. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. Somebody's receiving something that looks like an axe in the spirit. And the Lord is saying he's giving you the power to tear down. To tear down. To tear down. Installations of darkness, theater, wherever you are, take that grace now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. Place on them. This. Just touch them. I can't lay hands on them. I'm already out of time. Shed your light upon us. Bring us into deeper places in the spirit and cause us to drink of you. And Lord, cause us to be empowered by your spirit even as we embark on this eternal adventure of advancing the frontiers of your kingdom on the face of the earth. Take all the glory. Take all the honor for the lives that will be transformed tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Don't mind my voice. it will suffer. We will crack it. We keep cracking. We keep cracking and cracking. Because there's a place you get to, your voice has to become a trumpet. Because when you roar, you open seasons. So don't bother. Hallelujah. I'll be sharing with us very briefly tonight, even as I set us up for the many things I'll be sharing in the couple of days. Tonight I want to talk to us about dominion by the blessing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to share with us, this subject is very sensitive. We are in a wicked world. We are in a treacherous world. He said in Isaiah chapter 60, from verse 1, arise, shine. He said, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, you would take for granted that instruction, that commandment, and that summon, unless you understand the implication of the next verse. He said, for darkness shall cover the earth. And he said, gross darkness shall cover the people. And so a man who does not rise and shines will be a slave of darkness. So you are either shining or you are in obscurity. You are either reigning or you are oppressed. There's no middle ground. The unfortunate situation that many find themselves in is a product of their wrong assumptions. They feel what will happen. They feel someday, somehow, God will reach out to them and something will change. We are in a world of two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. It's either you are operating by the operations of light or you are operating by the operations of darkness. There's no middle ground. Hallelujah. However, for you to operate in light, there's a responsibility that is tied to it. He said, you have to arise. He didn't say, God will lift you up. He said, you arise. You shine. Your light is come. So your light will wait for you to arise. If you don't arise, your light will be there, but you will not shine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so tonight, I want to share with us on how to walk in the blessings. That's why I said we'll be looking at dominion by the blessings. And so the first thing I'll look at tonight is the manifestation of the blessing. The second thing I'll look at tonight is the order of the blessing. And the third thing I'll look at tonight is the way or the protocol of the blessing. If you understand these three things and you give yourself to it, then dominion will become a byproduct of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you excited already? Glory to God. Before I delve in, let's read a scripture. I'm going to be reading five scriptures from the book of Genesis, just to let you know, first and foremost, the things we lost in Adam, but found in Christ. Hallelujah. So you have an idea what a man who walks in dominion looks like. And then I begin to talk about the blessings proper. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26 to 28. Now the Godhead had a council before creation ever was. God was. It's important for you to understand that God is beyond the creator. Before he started creating, he was. everything we know about God is captured within the syllables of God as creator, either as savior or as king or as father or as ruler. He is king because he created a kingdom. He is father because he begat children. He is savior because we fell and he came to redeem us. All of that is captured in the syllables of God as creator. But before God ever began creation, God was. There were many spiritual enterprises God was involved in the aeon of God, because there is the age of God where nothing was. There is the age of God where only God was. And that age, we don't have the capacity to internalize it. And so that knowledge is suspended from our realm, because we can't contain it. There is a knowledge that you enter into, you will dematerialize. In 1 Timothy, hear this. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 16, it says God dwells in light, unapproachable. There is a realm that cannot be approached. That realm is secluded from creation. When Jesus resurrected, in Ephesians 4:10, he said he went high above all heavens. So there is a realm above all heavens. When God wants to reign over creation, he descends into heaven. But God is beyond heaven. Even heaven is in God. The throne of God is a descended realm, because God doesn't need a throne. Even the throne is in God. When God wants to walk with creation, it's important for him, you see, he has to descend so we can relate with him. Are we together? Now, in his descended order, we are ascended, because his least is our best. Now, that least realm of God is actually the zenith of our own reality. And from that realm, there are bequeathments that God made available to man. And for a man to walk in dominion, he has to access those things that are available in that realm. He has to walk in the reality of those things. And so in Genesis 1:26, the community of the Godhead were having a dialogue. And he said, God said, let us. You know, in your descended language, when you hear God said, you would expect, I will, or let me. But an individual is talking, and us is being used. So he's telling you the realm he dwells is superior to your cognitive realm. Because one can be us, and us can be one. But that is a realm. Now, why am I explaining this? It's not to bamboozle you with mysteries. It's to let you know the superiority or the superlative nature of the things that crystallize from that realm. If something comes from a realm that is superior to the realm you are living, if you are walking with that thing, you will naturally dominate the realm you are living. And so the reason you walk in dominion is because your reality comes from a realm superior to this realm. Maybe we can just stop clapping so we can travel. And so in that realm that is superior to this realm, the community of the Godhead was interacting. And he said, let us make man in our own image. And so the raw material for making man did not come from this realm. It came from that realm where that dialogue took place. Because when God wanted to make man, the Bible said he breathed the breath of life. He brought the resource for making man from that his realm, and he planted that resource into this visible realm, so that the man that came from the realm of God, we have legality to function in this realm. So man is not of earth, man is of God. That's why he said, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you came from a superior realm. And that superior realm where you came from, there are five things God put in you in order to make you dominate this new realm he's introducing you to. And so the first thing we saw in that scripture, he said, let us make this man in our own image. So the man does not look like anything in the realm he's going to. The man actually is a reflection of the realm he's coming from. So when the man enters this realm, even if he's unconscious, he will dominate this realm, because it's a reflection of a being from another realm, a realm that is superior to this realm. My son is looking at like me today because he embodies my DNA. And so when God was talking about image, he was talking about DNA. He said, let us make a creature that has the DNA of God. Let's make a creature that when you touch God. If that creature is in his elements, when he's standing, you can't distinguish him from God, because he's exactly like God. And if you want to probe him, take it to a scientific lab, you will come out with an identical. If you take my DNA today and take my son's DNA, it's one. You can't find any difference. The information communicated in me was transferred to him. And so the first thing God gave man was his DNA. And that DNA is what you call the kabod of God. That's the glory of God. The glory of God is God's nature, God's essence. What makes God God? The full weight of his being. That is what he implanted into this creature. So dominion for you is not something you practice, it's who you are. You see, many spirits will come into this world to teach you how to fail. Man had to be taught how to fail, because the realm we came from, even if you want to fail, you'll be right. Because before the man fell, God gave him a test. He said, name all the animals. And God went to watch. The Bible said the names that the man named the animals was the name thereof. So the animals were not named by man. They were echoed by man. God was the one who named the animals. Man echoed it. And so the frequency. Can we stop clapping? It's a body. See, when you are meditating on these things, you will notice that the glory will start dominating you. When you are meditating on these things, the God factor in you will start rising. This is what men come into. That what others call challenge is a platform for their own manifestation. Because they now realize there's no such thing as impossibility with them. They come from God. They are of God. They are the expression of the glory of God. In fact, when Paul was teaching it, he said, man is the glory of God. Because if you want to find the DNA of God, if you want to study God, if you want to understand God, the only tangible and physical thing you can examine in order to trace the DNA of God is the man who walks in the image of God. And so the first thing God gave man was his image. His image is his DNA. His DNA is his glory. The second thing God gave man was his likeness. His likeness is his character. Because DNA, we impute character. My son today does a lot of things like me, and sometimes me and my wife will be looking at him and I'll be wondering, I'm a stubborn man. If you say stop, we love to take risk. They say, Paul and Barnabas, they hazarded their life. If they say this place there's danger, I said that's the place for us. I don't know how to fear. If it has to do with the kingdom, I'm a rugged man. I take risk. And you can't stop me. The only thing that stops me is the command of God. Stop. I stop. If the devil attempts to stop me, he fuels me to do more. And so that ruggedness, that strong-headedness, I will see this tiny boy who is less than 1 year, 2 months. He will be operating in it. And I'm looking at, I say, who taught you? The DNA imparts character. Character. And so the second thing God gave the man is the character of God. And this character is so embedded in man that even angels look at men to study God through men. Because the only other place they see God apart from the throne is man. And so Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 said, even the principalities and powers, they will look upon the church and learn the manifold wisdom of God. Because when we are operating, it is God manifesting. This is why God walks through you. The reason God walks through you is because he wants you to animate his character so that the visible world can have the privilege of seeing the reality of the invincible God dwelling in the invisible world. Because you are a manifesto of God's character, anything you touch and do must align. Because in this realm, nothing has the power to disobey God. And so anything that operates in the order of God dominates this world. You see, when God teaches you purity, when God teaches you brokenness, when God insists on righteous living, it's not weakness, it's power. Because the character of God is a gateway to dominion. The third thing God gave us was his life. Now you have his nature, but his nature must be animated. And so in Genesis chapter 2 verse 9, he said God planted a tree in the garden. And he said the tree of life also was there. That is what put immortality in you. Because this nature that you now have will have to be quickened in order to exude the character of God. So the provision God made for man in order to walk in dominion was also the very life that powers God. Now when you study creation, you are going to understand that different beings and different order operates different life. For example, when you carry a donkey or when you carry a goat, there is a life that powers the goat. It's called bios. That's the animal life. The reason you kill a goat and there's no consequence in the spirit is because bios does not have implication in the spirit realm. The reason the realm of the goat is not as significant as the human realm is because of the life they operate. It's a lower kind of life. Now, when you enter the angelic realm, they have spirit life. The life the angels operate on is a spirit kind of life, but it is also limited because they can only operate in the spirit realm. But when you come to man, man has three life in one body. In you is the animal life called bios, in you is the soulish life called suke, and in you is the spirit life called zoe. So your spirit life causes you to dominate and to operate in the realm of God. Your animal life gives you legality to function in the visible world, and your soulish life gives you the ability to network the spirit realm and the natural realm. So the reason, hear this, the reason you dominate by life is because on account of your spirit life, you can fetch resources from the spirit realm and translate it through your soulish life into your natural life. And if there is a challenge in the natural life, you can translate that challenge from the natural life through the soulish life into the spirit life. You don't solve your problems on earth, you solve your problems in heaven. prophet was giving a testimony while he was ministering live this afternoon. A woman was told she had miscarriage, and the doctors did the test, and it was proven that the amniotic sac was empty, and she had the results. And then somebody told the woman, the man of God is ministry, go and listen. And the woman joined the service, and he declared restoration, he declared life. And the same woman went to the hospital, and they tested her with the same equipment and discovered that the baby is there. The equipment is not wrong, the doctor is not wrong, but a superior life came. a superior life came. So when we have a challenge that cannot be understood in nature, we take it to heaven. When we solve it, the manifestation on earth will change. But the reason that is possible is because there are three kinds of life at work in us. And so when men are applying principles, we apply with them. But when principle fails, we go back to where life exists. And we fetch a M and we bring it in and we correct it. Are you seeing the difference? And so God gave us three kinds of life so that we can have dominion. Number four, God also gave us access. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, he said the voice of God came walking in the garden. You won't know what that means. In heaven, the Bible said every time the glory of God manifests, he said the 20 and 4 elders fell on their faces and they worshipped him. You know what is going on there? Every time they look up, they see another dimension. Because the glory of God is an excelling glory. The more you see, the more of him you see. He never diminishes. If you are looking at me now, maybe the first time I walked in, you looked at me and looked at me again. You don't see me anymore. You have seen all of me already. But when you look at God, if you take your eyes away and you look again, you will see another kind of beauty. If you take your eyes and look again, you will see another kind of beauty. So when the elders worship a dimension, they will stand up. They want to sit on their throne. As they now look, they will see another glory. So they will go back and worship. They will stand up. Before they sit, they will see another glory. They will go back. That's why forever and ever, they keep falling down. They keep falling. Not because they want to. They are saluting the excellency of the glory. And hear this, not every angel has the right to operate in the throne room where the glory manifests. When Gabriel came to Zacharias and Zacharias doubted him, he said, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God. Because in heaven, the ability to stand in the presence of God is a rank. And when Zacharias doubted Gabriel, God didn't tell Gabriel to punish him. But an angel of the presence has the authority to judge. And so without consulting God, he said, because you have doubted me, you will be dumb until the day this thing manifests. So when God gave us access to him, what he did was to empower us as judges over the earth. Are you seeing the organic dimensions of dominion? You have the nature of God. When you appear, they see God. So nature bows to you. You have the character of God. When you manifest, nature bows to you. Are you seeing it? You have the life of God, so you can bring the realm of God. You have access to the realm of God, so you are an enthroned personality. In fact, why the angels go to God's presence to seek God? And it's a privilege. For we don't go. God comes. In the garden, it was not Adam that was going. Every prince was going to the throne room to bow. But God will remove the garment of glory and put it on the throne. And they are watching, they are seeing thunder and lightning. And he said, the voice of God came into the garden. And God was looking for the man. Adam, Adam, where art thou? Adam. Why cherubims are looking for the opportunity to see him? He is now coming to look for the man. You see, this is why the Bible said, faith worketh by love. If you know the love of God for you, it will give you audacity. See, I'm not afraid of nothing. I'm not afraid of anything because God loves me too much to let go of me. That's why I said, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. When angels fell, God didn't redeem them. But when man fell, God became man to redeem man. It's called access. Do you know what it means for God to become man? God had to put on flesh and blood in order to save man. We have access. That's the fourth thing God gave us that makes for dominion. And the last thing God gave us is what I want to speak about, the blessing. In Genesis 1:28, he said, and God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. So it takes the blessing for a man to dominate. A man who is not blessed cannot walk in dominion. There are many persons who are intelligent. They studied in the best universities. They have the best human connections, but they cannot tell why they don't dominate. Some are even wealthy, but money is not dominion. Dominion is influence and authority. Authority that can affect systems. Authority that can affect men. Authority that can affect nations. Money can be an instrument that transmits that authority. But that authority is superior to money. There are many wealthy people who are looking for access. There are many wealthy people who are looking for recognition. They spend millions of cedis in order to be recognized in an occasion. But there are some other persons, that occasion matter if their name is mentioned. It's called influence. It's called dominion. It takes the blessing for a man to walk in dominion. And so after God gave us his nature, gave us his likeness, gave us access, and gave us life, it was important for him to bless. He said, and God blessed them. And God blessed them. And one thing God taught them, in order for you to dominate your world, make sure you transfer the blessing. Don't die with it. And so you will notice in scripture, the first man God gave the blessing did not transfer the blessing. His name is called Adam. Because he didn't transfer the blessing, God had to come back. And in Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, if Adam had transferred the blessing, God would not have come. But in Genesis 12 verse 1, God came back and met Abraham and said, get thee out of thy country, get thee out of thy kindred, get thee out of thy father's house. And he said, in blessings I will bless you. Because if a man is not blessed, he cannot have dominion. And from that time on, Abraham became wise. Before Abraham died, he said he gave gifts to the sons of Keturah. He said, but to Isaac he gave the blessing. Before Isaac died, he said, go get for me a savory venison that I may eat and my soul may bless you. And so before Isaac died, he transferred the blessing. And because they have the blessing, they dominated with or without opposition. So it takes the blessing to dominate. A man who walks without a blessing is in trouble. See, many Christians are not taught. They just say, I'm a believer. So nothing can happen. It doesn't work like that. What God's servant is doing here took a lot of blessings. That's why you can photocopy the books they use in teaching people. If the blessing does not rest on you, you will become a professor. And I'm not looking down on professors, don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is that you will read books and master books, but there will be nothing to show for it. Because in addition to principles, in addition to excellence, in addition to hard work, in addition to diligence, in addition to discipline, there must be the blessing. God knew that Abraham will teach his children principles. He said, I know Abraham, my servant, Genesis 18:16, that he will command his children in my ways. But in addition to training, Abraham knew, Isaac knew, Jacob knew, that it takes the blessing for a man to be great. It takes the blessing for a man to dominate. And they also knew that the blessing is not just talk. It's not just talk. That's why when Isaac wanted to bless his son Esau, he said, get me a savory venison, let me eat, that my soul will bless you. After he blessed Jacob instead of Esau, Esau came back and wept, and he said, oh, there's no more blessing. Because this is not Aramaic, this is not English, this is a power. He said, I have given it to your brother, he will be Lord over you. He said, I have made him Lord over you. If it was about talking, the man would have talked. But he knew that this thing is something I collected from Abraham. And when I give it, I have given it. They understood the tangibility of the blessing. On one lineage and on one tribe. It transferred from Abraham and it kept transferring. But you see, in the economy of the New Testament, it changed. And so something happened. The blessing was invested in the Christ. We now understood that the blessing is not cow. The blessing is not money. We now understood that the blessing is a spirit. We understood that the blessing is a spirit. Because when you read Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, 14, and 26 to 28, you are going to see what he said. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He said, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Go further. That the blessing, are you seeing it? He calls it the blessing. That the blessing of, and he didn't call it blessings, because this is a force, this is a reality. He said that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So the promise of the Spirit is the blessing. The moment you receive of the Spirit, the blessing begins to work in your life. And this operation comes upon you when the Holy Ghost rests upon you, and when a spiritual person transfers measures of that Spirit upon you. And so it's important for believers to become sensitive. See, many Christians pride themselves in what unbelievers pride themselves in. And so when a man drives a jeep, he says he's blessed. Why? He shows you the jeep. When a man goes to study in Oxford, he comes back walking like a peacock. And when you ask him, he said, I schooled in Oxford, I schooled in MIT. Well, that's good. You went to empower your brain. But brain power can't dominate the world. The world is a realm of spirit. You need more than brain power to dominate the world. That is important. Do it. I study, and I study a lot. But I know spirits are involved. And these spirits are ancient. And so beyond where you studied, what you drove in, what is the measure of the spirit that you carry? Because the blessing is the spirit. The measure of the spirit that a man carries is the blessing. When that comes upon you, you can enter a desert and it can turn to a fruitful field. It can turn to a forest. Isaiah 32 said, when the spirit is poured upon us from on high, he said, then the wilderness shall be turned to a fruitful field. And he said, the fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. Not when we receive a certificate. Not when we receive a gift. He said, when the spirit is poured. So what converts a wilderness to a fruitful field and a fruitful field to a forest is the blessing. But many are not aware. They are priding themselves in the wrong things. I have a car. Thank God for it. But where is the blessing? How much of the spirit do you have? The spirit is the blessing. The spirit is the blessing. The spirit and the operation are in degrees. They are in depth. They are in dimension. Dominion is a deliberate thing and it can be walked if a man understands the protocol. But for you to begin to walk it, you need to understand what is responsible for dominion. It is the blessing, and the blessing is the spirit. The first thing you need to know about the blessing, it's the manifestation. And I'm saying this so that you will have a reordered consciousness. Because many believers have the wrong consciousness. If you ask our Father tonight, the most precious thing to him, a man who doesn't have understanding would think is the beauty in this camp. No. Before this camp was built, it was in his belly. I told you before. If he leaves this camp and goes to another country, he can build this again. Because the camp is not the blessing. The blessing is inside him. And so anywhere you go, you can replicate it. So when you come to a camp like this, your focus should not be the room you sleep. If you need to sleep on the road in order to get the blessing, sleep there. If you come to a camp like this, your focus should not be, give me some CDs. No. If they give you CDs, you will spend it. You will need it again. When you come to a camp like this, your focus should not be picture. Some people go and stand where there are green flowers and they are taking pictures. You come to a place like this, all you want to do is pictures. When the signature of the Spirit is written on everything, in order to show you that it's possible and to also show you how to do the same, so that we can dominate Ghana, so that we can dominate the nations of the world. But you need to know what is responsible for this. Let me speed up a bit now. Please be seated. The manifestation of the blessing. Listen to Abraham's life. Genesis 24 verse 1. It said Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and he said the Lord had blessed him in all things. When a man carries the blessing, he becomes blessed in all things. Anything he touches begins to prosper. And when Abraham transferred it to Isaac in Genesis 26 from verse 13 to 20, We saw the story of Isaac. Isaac dug a well. The Philistines collected it because they thought it was about good location. He left the well, went to another place, dug a new one. The one they collected dried. They came back to the one he dug again, collected it. He left, went to another place. The one they collected dried. Everywhere Isaac goes to, there's water. You know, even Isaac was not aware. He thought prosperity was about location. So he wanted to follow them to Egypt. And God said, no, you are different. He says, stay still in Gerar. In this land, I will bless you. You carry something on your life. It's not the land that blesses you. You are the one that blesses the land. In my country, hear this. In my country today, because of the hardship, everybody is running to UK and US. If you are a lizard in Nigeria, if you like, go to Washington, D.C., you'll still be a lizard. And the guy stayed there. And the Bible said in that same year, he said God blessed him and gave him a 100-fold harvest. And he said the Philistines envied him. They came to him and said, go from us. You are bigger than us. A man became bigger than a nation. Because a nation may just be a geography if there's no blessing there. The blessing, it prospers. He said, the blessings of the Lord make it rich. The blessings of the Lord make it powerful. The blessings of the Lord make it influential. And he added no sorrow to it. And the blessing was on Jacob. And Jacob went to Laban. And he said, ten times, Laban shortchanged the guy. But the guy would not reduce. When he was leaving, he was 3 times bigger than Laban. And even Laban testified. He said, I have come to know by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Even Laban knew that it was not about this guy's industriousness. There is something on this guy that anything he does prospers. You know, when Lot was with Abraham, Lot was not wise. There are many people who walk with the blessed and they are competing with them. Me too. I have heard men. You? When this land is no longer enough for us, our people are fighting. What do you need now? And Abraham looked at him and said, okay, look at the whole land. Since you are conscious of the natural, pick anyone you want. If you go one side, I go the other. And the guy looked with agricultural intelligence. He had read books and he saw the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah, that it was green. He said, that is my land. Abraham said, God bless you, go. And he left. When the time came for Abraham, I thought Abraham said, look one side, I will go the other. Abraham didn't look at the other side. He looked to heaven. The blessing is not at the other side. The blessing is a spirit. And God said, lift up your eyes round about you, including Sodom and Gomorrah. As far as your eyes have seen, I've given to you. Do you know that even the Sodom and Gomorrah that Lot picked belonged to Abraham? When Sodom was to be destroyed, God came to tell Abraham, one of your constituency that you handed over to your boy is about to be destroyed. And Lot was in Sodom, but Abraham was the one interceding for Sodom. You can go to Accra. Somebody may be here in Plum Plum and be ruling Accra. He said, far be it from you that the righteous God destroy both the righteous and the evil. What if you find 50 righteous men? Is it the same Sodom that Lot is dwelling in? That somebody else outside Sodom is addressing? Because you can choose a physical location, but a blessed man owns the earth. Did you read what he told Joshua? Joshua 1 verse 3. He said, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread, he said, I have given to you. A blessed man owns the earth. He doesn't need to choose any location. He can be in one spot where the Spirit is. The nations will come there. That's why today, America comes here. England comes here. South Korea comes here. Because the blessed is in the blessing. And that's where God is. The blessing is not in Ghana, it's not in America, it's not in Nigeria, it's in the Spirit. And when a man contacts it, he begins to dominate, he begins to take over, he begins to rule. The forces of nature aligns in his favor. Many are not aware. Abraham, it took Lot many years to realize that Abraham's prosperity is not economic principle. You can see economic principle at work, but the Spirit breathed on it. That's what is empowering it. The moment Lot left, he said, God appeared to Abraham. God appeared. That's the blessing. The blessing. He multiplies. It increases. It prospers. It can turn a wilderness to a fruitful field. It can turn a fruitful field to a forest. This is why you have to become conscious of the blessing. Many are conscious of their jobs. They are conscious of money. They are conscious of location. When they are on their job, they are focused. They are diligent. They are disciplined. They are hardworking. But when they come to God's presence, they doze off. Misplacing priorities. They can do a master's degree and a PhD because of their job, but they can't read New Testament because of the blessing. They are going to South Korea for their job. They are going like princesses with pride. But if because of the blessing, they have to travel to a place, they say, Kai, the sacrifice that we are paying for this thing is not easy. But if it's their job, no problem. I was telling somebody the other time, there are many military officers. They are posted away from home for 8 months. There's no crisis in the family. But if a missionary travels for 2 weeks, family is under attack. Because our priority is wrong. We honor the job. We honor the secular institutions. See a man who is made HOD on his job. He will upload it everywhere and give thanksgiving. But his HOD in church, he can't come for service. Because he doesn't know the blessing. That's why they labor and toil, yet they are not blessed. Because the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them. They know not how to enter the city. I'm not saying you should not be happy about your job or be diligent. But even that job is the blessing that will promote you there. The blessing. You have to become conscious that there is something on your life. It's because of that thing on your life that your business prospers. It's because of that thing on your life that your ministry prospers. It's because of that thing on your life that everything you do prospers. And you will give your first priority to it. So Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. He said, all other things shall be added. A man who walks in the blessing, every material thing is an addition. No material thing is a blessing, not one. A car is not a blessing. A car is an addition. A job is not a blessing. A job is an addition. Nothing material qualifies to be a blessing. The blessing is a spirit and is eternal. That spirit is what causes material things to gravitate in your direction. Tell somebody, I'm blessed. And so I have dominion. I am blessed. And so I have dominion. I'll round up in the next 15 minutes. Let me add a little more gear. When you study the scriptures, and somebody just opened my eyes to this truth. It's a colonel in the army I went for an inaugural service somewhere and he was teaching. His name is Colonel Moyo. And he said, the first time in scripture that the blessing was divided was when Jacob blessed his children. You know, when Abraham transferred the blessing, he transferred it wholly. When Isaac transferred the blessing, he transferred it wholly. But when Jacob was transferring the blessing, he splitted it. And it was in Jacob transferring the blessing that we saw the component of the blessing. And that's what I call the order of the blessing. You can't walk in the blessing except as you respect this order. When Jacob was blessing his children, he came to Judah and he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, neither a lawgiver from within his feet until Shiloh comes. That is kingship. When he came to Levi, he gave him the priesthood. When he came to Joseph, he gave him the double portion. He said, let the name of Israel be named upon Ephraim and Manasseh. And we know that the double portion is the right of the firstborn. And so the three components of the blessing is the kingship, is the priesthood, and is the sonship right of the firstborn. Kingship is a speaking force. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? The problem with many believers and the reason they can never dominate is because their consciousness and their utterances are wrong. And every time you don't speak according to the demands of the blessing, you diffuse the blessing. The blessing is kingship and it's a speaking force. Nobody who dominates speaks wrongly. Not one. It's first of all a consciousness, then it's a voice. In Luke 4, 18, Jesus entered the synagogue and he carried the scroll and opened to Isaiah 60 and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He knew. He was conscious of it. He said, for he has anointed me. He has anointed me. See, the man knew. He knew that he carried it. And when he was done reading, he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. They started stoning him. If you are intimidated or afraid of speaking forth that which your destiny demands, you will never dominate. Sometimes men will intimidate you. Sometimes men will oppress you. Let it not stop you from speaking. Because the day you stop talking, that day you stop ruling. For it is where the word of the Lord is that there is power. A king who doesn't speak is powerless. And so a man who walks in the blessing is aware. If you study 1 Samuel chapter 9, they came to Samuel and they said, we are looking for the seer. He looked at them and said, I am the seer. Today people say they want to be modest. God is telling you, you are going to take nations. And you are saying, I don't want to appear proud. If God is willing, we will take over the nations. If God is willing. God is telling you, Accra is yours. And then you stand up, you say, we are hoping and trusting God one day, it will one day. You will never see it. When you know what God is saying, you rise up. We take over Accra. We dominate Accra. You talk it and it happens. That's a man who is walking in the blessing. Because the kingship operation is tied to your consciousness and your utterances. Your present are the speakings of your yesterday. And your future will be the speakings of your today. Men may misunderstand you and call it pride. You make sure that you are humble, but don't stop talking. Because the blessing will not work until you speak. Don't you see the fathers? They want to bless somebody and they know the blessing will never move until they talk. You want to bless Esau, Just let him go and be blessed. He has to speak for the blessing to move. Because the blessing is a kingship order. It responds to all trances. When Jacob brought in the venison, he said, "Ah, my son smells like a field that the Lord has blessed." He said, "May the Lord bless you with the dew of heaven." The man was changing economic systems with words. He had no regard for inflation and deflation because he knew that this blessing makes you a king. When you speak, power is released. Do you see why a blessed man does not have time to gossip? Because when we are talking, we are creating. When we are talking, we are shaping systems. When we are talking, we are betting things. It's kingship. It's kingship. It's kingship. You are waiting for somebody to tell you your future. Anybody who tells you about your future should be a confirmation. You should have said it a million times already. Those who work with me, they know. More than 15 years ago, we said we will shake this world. We will shake this world. We will go from territory to territories. We spoke it. If it didn't happen, we would have been surprised. We are not surprised that it's happening. We are only grateful to God. But these things we see today, we have spoken it. And we are speaking the future. See, don't clap when somebody is talking his future. Better start talking your own. You are there. You are hearing a man speaking and say, "In 2 years, we will take Ghana, we will take UK," and you are clapping. Ah! Turn to yourself. Pray in the Holy Ghost. When the anointing is there, begin to take over nations. Begin to take over system. Because the blessing demands that you speak. It's a kingship spirit. And then number two, the blessing is priesthood. Is priesthood, is intimacy. Because if you're only declaring things to happen and you don't have a vital connection with the Spirit, it means you are vain. It means you are a user of God. And so as much as you are declaring things to happen, you must be vitally connected to God. Every day you must stand before the Lord, because priesthood is the act of ministering to the Lord. Standing before the Lord and ministering to the Lord. Your passion for the presence must be superior to anything that comes from the realm of God. Because the presence is the best gift in the first place. I heard something God's servant said this afternoon. He said the reason we started looking for a place that resulted in what we have today is because we're looking for a place to wait on the Lord. So Potter City is not a product of human ambition. Potter City is actually a passion to find a place to see God. Because the second dimension of the blessing is the priesthood. Many persons are light because they don't stand in God's presence. They can stand before movies for 2 weeks. They can travel, go on holidays, and survey islands, walk on blue beaches. All of that is good if it helps you to relax. But if God's presence is a stranger to you, then even though the blessing is on your life, it will never manifest. Because it will take the presence for the blessing to work. This is not about ministry. Everyone born again is a priest. And it's because of the blessing. In Revelation 1:6, it says, "Unto him that washed us and made us kings and priests." Because we must all interact with the presence until the presence dominates us. How do you think discernment will be born? How do you think strategy will be born? It's in the presence. How to know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it. All of that comes from the presence. Because the blessing does not make you idle. The blessing actually makes you exceptionally intelligent. The blessing imparts upon you wisdom and the spirit of excellence. Where do you think you will get the energy from to conquer a dying world? Is it not in the presence? The things we do, the energy that sponsors it, it comes from the presence of God. He said, times of refreshing, they shall come from the presence of God. Check the scripture. Everyone who dominated had a vital relationship with God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. The moment Abraham came to the promised land, the Bible said he erected an altar. They were men of altars because they knew that wisdom came from above. They knew that power came from above. And if they will dominate their world, they must be fused to the presence of God. Is it David? Is it Paul the apostle? There's no name you mention who is not vital. See, when you see great men on earth, they are heavy in the spirit. They are heavy in the spirit. They are mingled with God until God is like their best friend. Even when they are going in the wrong direction, before anybody will advise them, he say, you hear a voice behind you. This is not the way to go. They walk with God in very deep intimacy. I'm not talking about, I read a book, somebody said this, and I'm saying it with audacity. That's not dominion. You can pick somebody's message, score the message, and preach it even more powerfully than the person. It doesn't mean you have dominion. John was speaking. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. It is in priesthood that you handle God. You handle. And it's the degree to which you handle that you dominate. The order of the blessing. A blessed man is a king. He talks. He talks what he wants to see. A blessed man is a priest. He stands in God's presence because his kingship is tied to his priesthood. Without priesthood, there will be no kingship. That's why you are always a priest and a king. You will never be a king without a priest. It will never work. It is a component of the blessing. And then when you do that, then you have to become a son. A son is one who images the Father. He said, God worked sundry times and in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. A man who walks in the blessing is not eager to show himself. He wants to show God. Sonship is the ability to turn the glory to the Father. If you are glorified for what is happening, it's not the blessing of God. If it is God, it is God they will see. Whatever happens is the Father that is revealed. When Jesus came, he came to glorify the Father. And the way you glorify the Father is to channel all the praise to him. It's so that when they look upon you, it is the Father you project. You are not projecting yourself. That is sonship. Our generation is depraved. People have soulish injuries. When they were growing up, they were marginalized. So every little thing they have, they want to use it to show themselves. Because while growing up, they were oppressed. So the little thing God gives them is the opportunity to recompense for the many years of oppression. And so the moment the guy has a phone, the phone becomes the anchor of his pride. The moment he has a car, the car becomes the anchor of his pride. Even ministry becomes the anchor of his pride. When you come into the church, he is the Jesus you see. He is too big that you can't see Jesus. He's the one you see in the place of Jesus. And God never takes the glory. Everything he says is I. But that is not the way of the patriarchs. Paul said, we continue up to this day because the Lord helped us. We didn't continue because we are technocrats. We continue because we are helped. They made sure they channeled the glory to the Father. It's called sonship. The ability for God to be seen through you. And so a man who will dominate by the blessing must know how to deal with words. Words will first of all create his consciousness, and then on the strength of that consciousness, that word will create his world. A man who walks in the blessing and dominate must be conscious of the presence ministering to the Lord. That's priesthood. And a man who will dominate through the blessing must be conscious of ascribing the glory to God. This is how the fathers walked. This is all they did. And as they are doing it, they are becoming bigger and bigger, bigger and bigger. And most times when you ask them, even they don't know how they became that big. There's a man in my country called Pastor E.A. Adeboye. When he became 70, the church in England said, let's honor him. We know we've been blessing our father, but let's honor him. They now said, if you are led, not compulsion, write a check for his birthday. And they wrote check, only the church in England, and put the check together. He took Barclays Bank. They dedicated two staff to assemble the check and to cash it. It took them 2 years. See, be patient. Walk with God. Relax. See what He will do with your life. You see $50,000 and you are shaking like this. Oh God, let me just compromise once. I will ask for forgiveness. Do you know what the blessing is? They say you will lend to many nations. You will not borrow. A blessed man is bigger than many nations. Many nations. You will lend to many nations. You will not borrow. You say $5,000. You say, oh, my God, this is my only opportunity. If I don't do this now, I don't know. And you find Christians lying, compromising because of cash. Cash. Money that you spend today, tomorrow you are empty. And you compromise because you don't know you are blessed. When Abraham came back from the battle of the kings, all the spoils of war they gave him, he said, no. I won't take a latchet from you. Lest you say you made Abraham rich. He had assurance in the blessing. And when Melchizedek appeared to him, he said, blessed be Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. A man walking on earth possess heaven. He said, Jesus now speaking. He said, at the last day, he said, men will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west to salute Abraham in heaven. Even in heaven, men are honoring. A whole bosom was created and they called it Abraham's bosom. People who died, who don't have eternal rest, Abraham has a chamber to accommodate them until Christ resurrects. Men beg Abraham in eternity. The rich man on earth went to heaven and was pleading with Abraham. Even himself knows it to be stupidity to send Abraham. He said, please tell Lazarus to dip his hand in the cup of water. So while they are dying, Abraham had more than enough. Because the blessing does not end in time. It enters eternity. The order of the blessing. Kingship. I can tell you many people, they've spoken only negative things all their lives. Nothing is working. So you use your kingship to invalidate your priesthood. The guy says nothing is working. He now goes to the altar. He says, Lord, Lord, you already proclaimed your verdict. What are you coming back to ask God for? Because they don't know how the blessing works. When you pray and you are charged, you now prophesy. And when you prophesy and it begins to happen, you glorify God. Then you begin to enlarge. You begin to enlarge. You begin to enlarge. Men will look at you and say, how? You say, even me, I don't know. The blessings of the Lord, he maketh rich. He added no sorrow to it. He maketh rich. He added no sorrow. Do you see that every one of us can walk in dominion? You don't have to beg anybody. Just walk in the blessing. And you will be amazed what will happen with you. You will just be enlarging. Even you will not be able to explain it. Now, when a man begins to walk in the blessing, then there is a corridor he is introduced to. There's a corridor. That's what I call the way of the blessing. Every blessed man has a way he lives his life. We don't live like everybody. God's servant said, holiness is a lonely path. There's a way we live. We are not like everybody. We are not like everybody. There's a way. When you find a blessed man who is genuinely blessed by God, there's a way we live. And I'll just mention them. God will give us understanding. Number one, I've already touched a bit of it, is the mystery of the prophetic word. We live talking the word. That's how we live. We live talking the word. And the mystery of the prophetic word is simple. That there is life and that there is power in your words if they are spoken under the anointing or in the will of God or as you are commanded. That's the mystery of the prophetic word. Your word have life and power if spoken under the anointing, in the will of God, or as commanded. And so a blessed man always labor to stay the anointing, to stay in the will of God, or to stay under God's command. Because that is what makes his words powerful. When the anointing is stirred, anything you say happens. And so a man who lives in the way of the blessing always keeps himself charged. That's why you see those who walk this order, they either have periodic routine of prayer, or you find them always fasting, or you find them listening and talking with people who charge their spirit, because they need to keep the anointing activated. They say God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, but it's according to the power at work in you. And so it's your responsibility to keep that power charged. There are some persons you see, there's always a worship song playing. They want the anointing stirred. Because under that unction, anything they say happens. When you speak under the anointing, there's life, there's power. It's not about the language. This is not English. This is not Ashanti. This is life and power. He said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there is something you do to bring life into those words, is to keep the anointing stirred. That's why you see, when we are preaching and the place becomes charged, anything we declare begins to happen. Why do you think ministers hardly make declaration at the beginning of the service? Because they understand the principle. When the place is charged, that's when to declare. Or if you discover this is the will of God, that's why we study the word, to know the will of God. When you know the will of God and you proclaim it, there's life, there's power. Or you stay sensitive to hear. When you say what you hear, there's life and power. He said, I prophesied as I was commanded. Is the mystery of the prophetic word. A blessed man functions by the mystery of the prophetic word. Either talking under the anointing, or speaking in the context of the will of God, or speaking as is commanded. And so a blessed man, therefore, must always labor to keep the anointing stead. A blessed man must always labor to know the will of God in every circumstance. And a blessed man must always labor to hear the voice of God. There are many people who carry the blessing, but they don't know when last they heard God. The anointing in their life has congealed. It's like stone. Because they don't know when last they stirred it. And they don't know the will of God on any matter, because they don't read the word of God. Ask them about marriage, they don't know. Ask them about business, they don't know. Ask them about politics, they don't know. And so even though they are blessed, there's no power. Because the way of the blessed is by the mystery of the prophetic word. The second thing about the way of the blessed is the mystery of obedience. He said to Abraham, get out of your country. Get out of your kindred. Get out of your father's house. If I lose everything, how then will I be blessed? But to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken than the fat of rams. A man who says he's blessed and lives in rebellion does not know the blessing. When God says, live a life of purity, it's a commandment. And so, you are not coming to tell God, I'm sorry, I didn't know what came over me. He will forgive you, but you'll be a child. And so long as you are a child, kingdom will not be given to you. That's why many believers are forgiven, but they never become powerful. They never become great, and they never dominate, because their life is littered with disobedience. God tells them, go and give this seed. They stand up and say, Lord, I can't give that seed because I have to pay my house rent. My children need to go to school, and they now eat, they spend the seed. He said, he giveth bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Bread is to be eaten, seed is to be sown. If you eat your seed, your tomorrow is gone. See, I am trying to make this simple and functional so you can practice it. Because it's not all the time we talk mysteries. Sometimes we tell people what they need to do. Your senses have to be exercised in the word of righteousness. If you say you are a blessed man, obedience must become prompt. In Genesis 22 verse 1, it said, now God tested Abraham and said to him, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and go to one of the mountains in Moriah that I will show you. There, offer him unto me. And the Bible said in verse 3, he said, early in the morning, Abraham took the boy. He didn't delay. Because he knew the key of walking in the blessing. Many are talking the blessing, but their life is full of disobedience. When Abraham came to that mountain, in Genesis 22:5, he told the other guys, wait behind. I'm going with the child to worship. He called his obedience his worship. Worship is not a song you sing crying. Worship is actually dogged obedience to God. That was the same obedience Jesus demonstrated at Gethsemane. The Bible said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Notwithstanding, I must do the will of him that sent me. For him, it was a must. Do you know how many places and for how many years we have walked in disobedience and rebellion? They lay hands on you, they pour a drum of oil on you, nothing works. The reason is because the blessing cannot work outside of obedience. It's the way of the blessing. A blessed man is an obedient man. Number three, the blessing is ordered by sacrifice. If you look at Abraham's life, there's so much to learn. And let me give you a few of them. Number one, Genesis 14, verse 14. We saw something that's mind-blowing. Abraham picked Lot when Lot was a nobody. Abraham carried Lot, built Lot up until Lot became as big as Abraham. Lot now decided he wanted to do his own. And Abraham allowed him. Lot went, and Lot was hijacked. They took Lot and his family to go and destroy. If it's our world today, what do you think the man would have done? Abraham would have come and crossed his leg and started giving parables. He thought he was wise. Now he's paying the price. And Abraham would be happy that Lot was destroyed, but not Abraham. The Bible said Abraham took 318 trained men. Hope you know that at this time, Abraham didn't have a son. So Abraham was taking a risk of ending his life and the life of his whole family because of a man that rebelled against him. And Abraham went after Lot, and when he delivered Lot, there was no record in the Bible that he condemned him. There was no record in the Bible that he wanted to coerce Lot to come back. After he delivered Lot, he said, go back and enjoy your life. And he turned. When God saw it, God couldn't hold it. That was why Melchizedek appeared. This man's heart is as large as the heart of God. What kind of large heartedness is this? It's called sacrifice. That's why I told you, nobody dominates in isolation. Most of us want to dominate, but we are looking for the good thing that comes with it. You sit down, you say you are pastor. When everybody is bringing seed, you say, the Lord bless you, the Lord increase you, the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. But when people have a need, you will say, leave, get out. You will now whisper and say, tell them I'm not around. If it is seed, you open your hand and bless them. But if they have a need, if they are around you walking, they are walking night and day, you say, God bless you. But if they are around you for 3 days and you have to feed them, it becomes a problem. Because we don't know that dominion comes with sacrifice. Your heart must be large enough to accommodate the needs of people. Because you are not dominating air, you are dominating in the world of men. And for you to dominate in the world of men, you must empower men. Listen, you cannot use men and become great. Even God will stop you. Everybody you see who is great is not a user of men, he's a lifter of men. Because God will check your heart in order to reward you. And so a lot of sacrifice of forgiveness, sacrifice of generosity, sacrifice of forbearance, sacrifice of long suffering, they are all necessary for you to dominate this world. How do you think the missionaries came here? We didn't have light, we didn't have hospitals, we had nothing. These people left their country, came here with Bibles to evangelize our dark Africa. Today, that God wants to send us back to evangelize them, we are only going because of dollars and pounds. Every evangelist, every missionary wants to go to Texas. He wants to go to London. Because there are pounds, there are dollars. If it was money they were looking for, they wouldn't come here. Some of them were killed and buried. Their children heard about it. Their children came. It takes sacrifice to walk in dominion. It's the way of dominion. Finally, the way of dominion is the way of gratitude. If you want to dominate, you must be grateful for the little God is doing with you. Many fall into the temptation of competition and ambition, and they call it dominion. The reason they want to build a big church is because somebody has built it and they are wondering, what is he thinking? The reason they want to build a university is because somebody has built it. The reason they want to build a city is because somebody has built it. That's not dominion. Because it's not inspired by God. It's inspired by envy, jealousy, pride, and arrogance. Dominion is not living your life reacting to another man's success. Because many people are not living, they're only reacting. If somebody does something, they want to do more. To prove a point, that's not a life, that's a reaction. There's no reward to it. You want to dominate, you are grateful for what God is doing. Your friend who started ministry 5 years after you may have 10,000 people. Thank God for him. Face your 50 members and pay attention. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. It's of God that showeth mercy. You find people, they are angry at their own congregation because of what God is doing next door. They are angry with the media, they are angry with the choir, they are angry not because the choir is not doing their best. For God's sake, your ministry is 4 years old. Why won't you thank God that there is somebody there singing? The moment choir starts singing, God's servant will climb up, stop that song, open the Bible. Why is he angry? Because the last time he saw a clip from his friend's church, the choir, everybody wore white suit, everybody wore black suit, and they were singing with saxophone and everything was in alignment. He now started hating his own choir. Thank God for what he's doing there. Come to your own, kneel down, thank God for this. When you are done thanking God, begin to prophesy. Our ingratitude is what keeps us where we are. In Jeremiah 30 verse 19, he said, out of them shall proceed the voice of thanksgiving. And the moment they thanked him, he said something. He said, I will multiply them, they shall not be few. I will glorify them, they shall not be small. What was the key? Gratitude. In Acts chapter 2 verse 46 to 47, it said daily they went from house to house breaking bread and praising God. And what happened? It said God added to the church. God added daily such as should be saved. Maybe if you had thanked God for your wife, that baby would have come. Maybe if you thanked God for the little investment you had, the company would have appeared. But instead of thanking God, you are lamenting. He called it an evil spirit, an evil heart. He said, because I have heard your murmuring, every one day shall become 1 year. And all of them perished in the wilderness because they were not grateful and they were not conscious of what God was doing through them. Don't find yourself in that place when you are angry at yourself or angry at what God is doing with you just because you saw the success of another. Let the success of people inspire you. But over and above that, thank God for what he's doing in your life. So, there was a time everybody around me gave me prophetic word. Everybody around me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? Amen. Everybody around me gave me prophetic word. Man of God, start your ministry. Start your ministry. I said, God, I've not spoken to me. I served for years. A decade passed, we're serving. A second decade almost completed, we're serving. And I never thought I would start a work. I was in a barbing salon when I saw a vision on the mirror. And it was written, counter Jesus. In a barbing salon, I wasn't praying. In a barbing salon. And when we started, in one year, we saw the mercy of God so much that we were so humbled. And I told myself, the race truly is not to the swift. Neither is the battle to the strong. It's of God that showed mercy. Rise up to your feet. Everyone can walk in dominion, but there's a protocol. Dominion brings enlargement, fruitfulness, it brings absolute dominance, but there's a protocol. Number one, you must be conscious of the order. The order is that you are a king and your power is in your words. The order is that you are a priest and that your strength is in your intimacy. And the order is that you are a son and that God must be seen and glorified through you. If these three things are in place in your life, you cannot but dominate. And when you are conscious of this order, you must also understand that there is a way of the blessed man. The blessed man operates by the mystery of the prophetic word. He stays under the anointing, he stays in God's will, and he functions as commanded. Number two, the blessed man does what? Have you been following my class? Have you been following my class? The blessed man walks in obedience. Everything God tells him to do, that's all he does. He's not trying to be too creative. He's only interested in doing what God says. And as he's doing it, he's enlarging. He's enlarging. He's enlarging. Number three, the blessed man is a man of sacrifice. He's willing to pour out. He's not willing to keep. It's as he gives out that he's enlarged. A man who keeps to himself can never be big. But a man who is liberal, the Bible said, is made fat. It will put a demand for forgiveness, for forbearance, for generosity. All of that is sacrifice. And finally, the blessed man is a man of gratitude. That's why he lives in rest. He's not ambitious. He's just grateful for what God is doing with him, in him, and through him. And as he's doing it, God keeps enlarging him. I pray for you tonight. You will walk in dominion. I pray for you tonight. You will be a blessing over your nation. Even in your generation, you'll be a blessing. I pray for you tonight. The forces that limit men, the forces that make men small, the forces that eats up the visions in the hearts of men, you have overcome those forces. And I pray for you tonight, the power to live in absolute dominion, receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. He said, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a great nation. I prophesy over you, you shall become a great nation. As you leave this place tonight, the encounter that changes a man's destiny for good, you will receive that encounter. You know, when God blesses a man, One thing he does is that he puts honor on his words. When that man speaks, spirits hallow it. I have seen a measure of the blessings of God. And from that place of a blessed man, I bless you. From that place of a blessed man, I decree you will be enlarged. From that place of a blessed man, I decree you shall be great. And there will be a lifting for you. No power under heaven will bring you down. You will rise and rise only. You will prosper and prosper only. You will progress and progress only. In the name of Jesus, give the Lord a big hand.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.edmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.